Now I invite you to please pray with me. Lord God, take my words and speak through them. Take our hearts and speak to them. Holy Spirit, you are welcome this morning. Bring conviction to our hearts through your word and initiate healing and transformation in our lives for the glory of your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Today we're going to be focusing on our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 25. If you want to follow along in your blue pew Bibles, it's on page 830, or in your own Bibles, Matthew 25. Today's the first of three Sundays where we're going to be focusing on stewardship and giving. As the vestry prepares for our budget for 2018, and as we prepare for the ingathering of our yearly pledges on December 3rd. And stewardship is a theme that appears regularly throughout Holy Scriptures. And it's not just a theme about money. The concept of stewardship envisions activities of discipline, activities of readiness. A good steward is one who lives their life and engages with their work or whatever it is they're doing with discipline, attentiveness, and readiness. With readiness for situations that may suddenly arise. They seek to be prepared. And readiness is the primary theme in our reading from Matthew chapter 25 this morning. The question before you is, are you ready? Are you prepared? Now, Matthew was the first true hurricane that I and my family got to prepare for last year. And while we were nervous, we felt pretty confident because our house has a built-in generator that's tied into the underground TECO gas line. We made sure it worked, and we were ready to help all of our neighbors when the power went out. I fired it up the day before, made sure it was running, and then Hurricane Matthew came and went, and we never lost power. And it was kind of a letdown. There it sat, idle, and we still reached out, but there was just this sense of bummer. We were likewise prepared for Ivan, but this looked bigger. Not Ivan, sorry. Irma. Ivan hit Pittsburgh back in my former days. Sorry about that. Irma. We were convinced this was going to be bigger, and now we would be a blessing. And again, we made sure the generator worked, and now we stocked our fridge with food because we were going to be able to cook for our neighbors. We could be out for a long time. We prepared, and we extra prepared, and we were ready. Again, I started the generator. We were good to go, and at midnight, I was awakened by the ignition process on our generator. We had lost power, and I laid in bed smiling. Five or six times, and I began to panic. So I'm outside. This is the high point of the storm with an umbrella, praying loudly, Lord, start this. We were prepared not to lose power. We were not prepared for that. As I was standing there, I envisioned our food spoiling. Now what do we do? I envisioned it'd be great to have ice, but I didn't buy any because we have an ice maker that should be working. Though I was prepared, I discovered I was not prepared. I was not ready. Now, do you think the next time a hurricane hits Jacksonville, I'll make the same mistake? I might, but I hope not. That's the question. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Jesus puts this question before his audience through a parable. But the consequences that he presents for not being prepared are much more severe than spoiled food. Those who are foolish, those who are unprepared, those who are not watching, we read, will hear the words, I do not know you. This morning, as we look at this passage from Matthew, I've got 4 points for you. First, we're going to take a look at God's kingdom. Second point is prepared and attentive. Our third point is shut out. And finally, watch. Well, Jesus declares at the beginning of our parable, as he's teaching, then the kingdom of heaven will be like. He declares this story is about the kingdom of God, initiated through his incarnation, God the Son taking on flesh and living. That kingdom initiated will be like. Now, Matthew writes this to a Jewish audience. And 33 times he writes the kingdom of heaven. Only once or twice he writes the kingdom of God, whereas the other gospel writers use the kingdom of God. Well, remember, who's Matthew's audience? The Jews. So Matthew displays a reverence for God's name, not voicing God in this presentation to the Jews, but saying the kingdom of heaven, the way you might see in an email, the kingdom of G-D. They won't say that name. They have a reverence for it. But that's what this parable is about, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God initiated by Jesus. This parable describes a familiar story, what would have been familiar to his audience, a little foreign to us. The 10 young women, the virgins, well, think about bridesmaids. That's where our culture divides, because then you think of that movie and just don't go there. But these young women are preparing the bride to meet her bridegroom. They're preparing her to meet her groom, who he is some distance away, preparing the place for them as they are married, where they will go. Now we read, he's on his way. Their task is to watch for his arrival. Yet they don't have GPS or phones to say, be there in 5 minutes. Sorry, there's a little bit of traffic on JTB. Might be longer. So they're going out knowing he's going to arrive. And their role is to welcome the bridegroom and lead him and then enter the celebration. And that brings us to point two. Prepared and attentive. I want you to note, all of these young women, the wise and the foolish, they all know the bridegroom. They're all looking for his arrival. They're expecting his arrival, but were they all prepared? Well, first, they all have their lamps, but Jesus tells us some were foolish, some were wise. Verse 3, the foolish had fueled their lamps, but they neglected extra fuel, we read. But in verse 4, the wise, they brought extra fuel. They were anticipating a potential delay. Those lamps didn't last very long. You needed to keep putting more oil in. They were ready and prepared, the wise. Well, there's a delay, and notice the wise and the foolish, they're all asleep at this point. There was a long delay. And then, surprise, they're awakened. The bridegroom is approaching. Guessing somebody from the bridegroom's party is running ahead. They awaken, and the foolish realize their lamps are out. They have no more oil, as the wise pour their oil in. They weren't ready. They had to go buy more oil, and they missed the bridegroom's arrival. But more importantly, we read they miss out on everything. They're shut out. Jesus stuns his audience, declaring that the unprepared friends aren't just late, they're not welcome. They're shut out. Verse 11, it says, they're knocking on the door and they say, Lord, Lord, let us in. Wasn't the first time Jesus told a parable with someone crying out, Lord, Lord. Go back to Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father. In that case, Matthew 7, but we did powerful things in your name. We knew who you were. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. We know you, we were waiting for you. But Jesus says, truly, I do not know you. Remember, Jesus' audience are faithful Jews doing lots to obey and follow God's laws, to be prepared, but they do not recognize Jesus. We heard that in Amos. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings, I will not accept them. Their hearts were far from him, even as they did their practice. Jesus' audience, the Jews, while they're preparing, they don't recognize Jesus. They don't recognize God's plan, literally woven through Scripture and the prophets. They're not attentive and prepared, and they miss what God's doing in Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, "Truly, I don't know you." And then, verse 13, Jesus concludes this teaching, "Watch, therefore." Here's the point. "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." You don't know the day or the hour. You don't know the day or the hour, neither do I. Jesus' arrival will occur when we see him approaching. And that will either be when he comes again, as he promised, and we see him approaching to claim his church. Or it will happen, as it did for Papa Nick Soteropoulos on Monday, when he died. And then he saw the Lord approaching through his faith in Jesus Christ. One day, you will see Jesus approaching. But we don't know the day or the hour. The word "watch" that Matthew uses here, quoting Jesus' words, "watch, therefore," it literally means keep watch, stay awake. It means be attentive, be active in your watching. This isn't zoning out on Netflix. This is actively watching. In Matthew 6, Jesus is also teaching about be alert, be ready, be watching, but Matthew uses a different term. It's Matthew 6, verse 1, where Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people." Beware. And he goes on to say, "When you pray, when you fast, when you give." He starts it all with, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before others." That word "beware," be aware, be ready, keep watch. It's the same sense. Keep watch. And we see the consequence, because if you don't beware, the second part of this verse, "for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." The same consequence we see in our parable this morning. Be alert, be attentive, watch therefore, or you will have no reward. So what does being prepared mean for you and for me then? The first thing we observe here is that the stakes are very high. This is salvation. This is salvation with Jesus or shut out. The stakes are high. The bridegroom, God the Son, Messiah Jesus, expects his people to be alert, watching for him, prepared for his arrival. That's how his followers will live. Indwelt by the Holy Spirit, they will be actively watching whenever it might happen. And the parable makes it clear. It's not just enough to know about God, to recognize that he might be coming, to know about Jesus. Because, as we've seen in these scriptures, many will say, "Lord, Lord, Lord, Lord." And he will say, "I never knew you." Salvation in Jesus, I submit to you, is not just a one-time prayer and then going on with your life as if nothing happened. That's not salvation, because there's no fruit seen. That's a prayer with no change. Faith in Jesus and salvation, his name, will lead to change, because he's living and active. Because it profoundly changes you. It transforms you to then live differently. I heard testimonies this past weekend of lives changed. Men and women coming face to face with Jesus, and then their brothers and their cousins and their coworkers come to see what the heck happened to them and want to know about this Jesus. Salvation will yield change. It will yield light. Faith in Jesus is not simply spiritual practice where you engage with a spiritual club and pay your dues and try to live a better life. That misses the mark of faith and salvation and transformation. And that's not my mark. This is the mark laid out by Scripture, by Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus, truly encountering the living Jesus and the salvation only available through faith in His name, that salvation will bring conviction of sin. It will bring joy and peace as you experience grace and mercy and forgiveness through God the Son. And it will lead to new life, which will then lead to light shining through you. Not as you're perfect, but as you, in your brokenness, continue to seek to follow. Because even as we stumble and fall and get up and repent, that light burns and that light shines for the world to see. And it's all about the one who does the changing, Jesus Christ. I want you to think back to the parable because light is a powerful image throughout Scripture and here. Jesus declared, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have, will possess, will own, and will reflect the light of life." Think about our Nicene Creed. We say two creeds here during the different seasons, where our creed declares Jesus is eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, and that light resides in you when you bow your knee to the living Lord Jesus. In the parable, those young women whose light was visible, they're entered in. But those young women who had no light, it was declared, "I never knew you." How does one know if they're saved? How do you know? There will be light. And that light will be the light of men. The light of Christ will shine through. Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men." I think that's the next slide. Do we throw it in there? "Let your light shine before others so that they will see your life and give glory to God." They will be changed. Salvation is before us here. And as Jesus makes the point that there are severe consequences for not being ready, He puts a choice between each of you. If you're not ready, if you are sitting today and you're acknowledging, "I'm not ready," if you don't yet have salvation in Jesus' name, the question is, my question to you is, what will you then do? What will you do? Jesus is calling to you to turn to Him in faith, and He offers you forgiveness and transformation and hope and peace and light. If you would like to do that today, during communion, I ask you, as Craig and I are handing out the bread, simply reach up and grab our hand, and we will pray with you at the rail as you kneel before the Lord. If you would rather pray with one of our prayer teams during Eucharist, I encourage you to go and pray with them. Let them know, "I want to know Jesus. I want His light." And they will pray with you. The choice is yours, to turn to Jesus or to remain on the outside. Now, to those of you who have put your faith and trust in Jesus alone, who are living as His followers, maybe actively living, maybe you've wandered off, feeling distant, but you have faith. Your work is not done according to this parable. You're called by Jesus later in Matthew as He's preparing to ascend after His resurrection. He says, "Go." He orders us, "Go as His disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all I have commanded you." How are we to make disciples and to teach all that he's commanded us if we don't know it and if we're not living it? As you go, you are to be his light. You are to be actively waiting for him and be light to your neighbors, your coworkers, your golf or your cycling or your softball or your workout friends. And to the world, you are to be ready and you are to live ready. And living ready will mean being a good steward of your life, all that you are, your time, your talent, and your treasure. It will mean living as a good steward. You are to steward your time, your talent, and your treasure, not just as the world does anymore with your new Lord Jesus Christ. In the first century, his followers were known as his followers because they lived as his followers. They looked differently. Their light was visible. May that be true of his church today. May that be true of each of you. May your light shine before men. As you live that way, the world will see your light. They'll be attracted to King Jesus. So being prepared, being ready, being a good steward is not just about giving money. Stewardship is not just about giving money to a charity. That is good. But true stewardship is not an amount given, but it's a changed heart submitted to the Lord. Jesus said, "Don't store up treasure on earth, but store up treasure in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Where your treasure is, there your salvation will be." If your treasure is in your faith in Jesus Christ alone, and you are a steward of that life, then your treasure is in heaven. As you seek to live a life that's transformed for his kingdom purposes, that's used to bring kingdom fruit, I pray you will take your financial stewardship seriously. Now I'm talking to the members of the church. If you're visiting, I'm really glad you're here. And I pray that God will lead you in your financial giving wherever it is you worship. But to the members here, I pray in these next 3 weeks, as we approach our ingathering, you will approach it prayerfully with respect to your current year's giving and with your pledge for next year. With your tithe. Take time in these next 3 weeks to pray and ask God what he desires you to give. Now, doing the same thing year by year, that's okay. But I am convinced we serve a living God who's living and active, who still speaks, and who wants to speak to us about how we live our lives. I hope that you will take time to ask him to guide you in your stewardship of time, of talent, and of your treasure. Ask the Lord of heaven and earth to guide you. Live a life that is attentive, that is actively watching, and that is ready to meet your Savior. And as Jesus said, so let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.